Good morning, 1220 listeners. This is Caroline once again from the City Mission, bringing you Faith in Crisis, our half-hour show discussing the urgent issues and opportunities the church has to serve those experiencing homelessness in Cleveland. Today, we're having on two very special guests, Mark Ballinger from our Crossroads Men's Crisis Center and Michael Hahn from our Laura's Home Women's Crisis Center. These two are our program managers of our main program components here at the City Mission, and they have a unique perspective on what people experiencing homelessness are truly facing and what will truly make the difference in their recovery. Last week we had Rich Trickle, our CEO, and our COO, Linda Uvegas, on to talk about the issue of homelessness in Cleveland at a high level, but this week we're going to get a little more granular and discuss our biggest challenges, our most exciting opportunities, and what you can do to be a part of the solution. Most of our clients are stuck in cycles of poverty, sometimes for generations of a whole family. Others are working to break their addictions, and still others are escaping domestic violence. And we know that it will take unique, meaningful solutions to help people escape these cycles. So Mark, why don't you start off by describing what Crossroads is for people who may have never heard of our program?
So Crossroads is a men's crisis center in Cleveland, Ohio that assists men in basically two main ways. We offer a 30-day short-term program which helps men with emergency needs. It's a great option for people who just need a little of assistance to get back on their feet. We assist them with three meals a day, basic hygiene, clothing, and a place to stay and to get out of the cold. The other program we have is our long-term program, which can last anywhere from 9 months to a year on average. And this program is especially helpful for men who know they need greater assistance in getting stability in their life and working on the barriers that have caused their homelessness. So the long-term program consists of three phases. Phase one and phase two are really where we focus on the client's individual needs and trying to help them overcome that specific barrier that's causing instability in their life. So those first two phases take around 6 months, and it's a time where a client has the opportunity to be introspective, to work on maybe an addiction issue or a mental health issue, just a character development issue. And again, that takes about 6 months. Then the client moves into phase three. And phase three is where the program really transitions and focuses more on the practical needs that this person will need to transition to a stable place once their time here at the mission is over. And we have two main objectives for every client who comes through here in phase three, and that's stable income and stable housing. So that phase three is a little bit different for each client based upon their needs, but on average, it takes about 3 to 6 months to complete that final part of our programming, which again, in total, takes around 9 to 12 months for the average client.
Thanks, Mark. And Michael, it seems like Laura's Home has been in the news a lot lately, but could you go ahead and explain the Laura's Home Women's Crisis Program as well?
Yeah, sure. So Laura's Home is a women's crisis center for both single adults and women with children. Right now, our main focus is long-term programming, where we have three phases that our clients will progress through. Throughout that time, the typical stay will be between anywhere from eight to 12 months. They're going to participate in a whole host of different classes throughout that time, with the major outcome of life transformation and leading towards stable income, stable housing.
And do women progress through the program the same way that men do?
Yeah, to going through our program, first you'll do an initial assessment. We'll kind of, based on that, we'll see where you're at, see what your needs are, see what's bringing you here. You'll enter into our first phase if you decide to do the program. That first phase will last 8 weeks. It's our called Touch of Reality, which is more focused on really what brought you here, some of the trauma you've been through, addictions, what maybe some trauma that led to those, really just a reflection on what's brought you to this circumstance. Then as a client progresses into our next phase every 8 weeks, they'll move through, again, a whole host of classes, mostly built on interpersonal communication skills, again, continue to address trauma, boundaries that they need to work on within their relationships, things like that. Throughout the whole time frame, we're also linking them with mental health services. If they have an addiction, linking them with alcohol or drug treatment, if that's needed for them. And then doing the same thing for their kids throughout that whole time frame. Again, assessments, linking them with services throughout that whole stay.
Thank you both for sharing more about what the programs look like. I know that our programs are especially unique because we don't place very strict timelines on how long a client can stay and have time to recover. So they're able to move through these three phases throughout 6 to 12 months, which some people truly need in order to recover and heal from the trauma that they've experienced in the past, as well as find those stable jobs and housing that are going to keep them sustainable once they leave the mission. Let's move on to talk about some of the challenges that you have in each program. I'm sure they're unique amongst men and women. So Mark, why don't you start off by talking about what are some of the biggest challenges that men at Crossroads are facing as they work through their program?
So all of our clients are certainly unique and we try to treat each one on an individual basis, but there are some major themes and barriers for the type of man who comes through Crossroads. And some of the common barriers that we deal with on a daily basis are mental health issues, addiction, and criminal background. Those are some of the big hitters that we often try to help men with. Through our mental health services, we work really closely with partnering agencies that are local to get the men the mental health assistance that they need. And we also really focus heavily on the addiction issue. Addiction is a huge problem for many of our clients who come through, and many times they have income or they have a trade where they're able to provide for themselves, but their addiction has completely taken over their life and taking over their finances, which leads to homelessness. So addiction is a big barrier that we're always fighting against. And certainly criminal background. A lot of men are coming directly from prison or jail, and we try to help them re-enter society and figure out a better way forward. Those are the big common areas. And again, certainly every guy is unique and there's all different types of issues that I didn't mention. But on a seasonal basis, since it is getting colder, certainly, you know, many men are coming here for shelter and are in need of warmer clothing. And right now, we certainly could use specifically jackets, winter jackets for men of all sizes. We get all different types of men here. And, you know, the extreme sizes are always the ones that are in big demand. A bigger guy and the smaller guys sometimes find it difficult to get the clothing and the jackets that they need from our warehouse. So those are certainly a need right now.
Mark, I want to bring this challenges conversation back to where you were talking about addiction and the ways that we're seeing men fall into that still. Obviously, the opioid epidemic is a big topic right now and one that's close to home for many of us. Is that one of the things that is impacting what you're seeing at Crossroads with the challenges that different men have?
Interestingly enough, the opiate crisis is not as prominent as you would think in our community with our clients. The three main addictions and substances that get abused with the guys who come to our facility are alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine. Those are the three big ones that if a guy has an addiction, that likely that's what he's struggling with if he's at Crossroads. Of course, there's some guys who are struggling with opiates or pills or other substances, but those three are our big common ones. And the way we assist those clients in those areas, or we have, again, partnerships with agencies that specialize in recovery And so they get assessed by a professional clinician, and then they get assigned to the right group or treatment plan for them. And of course, we also encourage our men to get involved with AA and NA. And there's a lot of local groups here in Cleveland that are really healthy environments for our men.
I'm glad you approached that question from all sides, Mark. There aren't just practical needs. There are also vocational, relational, spiritual needs across the board. And Michael, I'm sure that's true on the women's side as well. What are some of the biggest challenges you're seeing at Laura's Home as you work with women who are recovering from the cycle of poverty?
Yeah, so this is the challenge of Laura's Home, is that really it's such a wide variety of individuals who are coming to us. Again, all of our, they are ladies and families. However, they are such a diverse backgrounds they come from, diverse socioeconomic backgrounds. Education levels are all different, from fifth grade level of education to master's degrees who come here. So the challenges of trying to tailor a program and tailor what their true needs are with a holistic care is incredibly hard. So that's the clients we serve, though, because we have no filter when people come to us at all. I'd say our biggest challenge right now at Laura's Home, our clients will progress through the program pretty well. They'll continue to go through, but then at the end they'll hit a roadblock, and that roadblock's affordable housing. The income that a lot of our clients will receive throughout that time, the typical wage of once someone gets a job, averages out, or Social Security disability, will typically average out to about $12 an hour. To live in Cuyahoga County for a two-bedroom apartment, you need to make about $15 an hour in order to afford it, that you're not spending half your income each month on that. So our ladies, it's you have a single mom who's got five, six, seven kids who now can't even afford a two-bedroom apartment. That's one of our most challenging aspects of just living in this area. You know, from there, the next challenge is breaking that threshold of only the $11 to $12 an hour jobs. So trying to get to that next income level of $14, $15, $16 an hour, that's the second biggest challenge that we have for our clients while they're here. Again, but the backgrounds, the different backgrounds are clients that some people will be able to do that, but, you know, the availability of those types of jobs because of our clients' criminal history, their education level, that's the challenge for our ladies.
I'm so glad you brought that last point up. Some of our clients simply will not be able to work because of various barriers. Can you talk about some of those barriers and how we are helping people in that situation to find their own self-sustainability outside of work?
Yeah, definitely. So part of that assessment in the very beginning is just gauging someone's work history, gauging their mental health history, their physical history. And a lot of our clients will need to be linked with Social Security disability. That can be a lengthy process also. You might get denied once or twice in going through that. But there are some of our ladies who truly just aren't going to be able to work because of all the physical ailments that they've, you know, maybe went untreated throughout their time and didn't have a diagnosis because they couldn't afford their medical care before. So we're always trying to, if it becomes evident that someone needs that, we are linking them with a psychologist, things like that, to help provide assessments if it is their mental health that is kind of keeping someone from obtaining employment. But through that process, we are going to assist if that is their need in obtaining Social Security disability.
So a lot of unique challenges at both Laura's Home and Crossroads, but I know there's a lot of exciting things happening as well in both our programming, volunteer opportunities, connections we're making with outside organizations. Can you talk about these things from the Crossroads perspective, Mark?
Some of the most exciting things happening at Crossroads are certainly chapel is something that's a staple for all of our clients 5 days a week. Every guy gets to hear the word of God, and over, you know, 6 months, 9 months to a year, men hearing the word of God consistently, I think it truly is life-changing. A lot of guys go in, maybe not so excited about it or just don't really think they need it, but over time, they become receptive and they are enjoying it. And really the most exciting thing about the, you know, a man's time at the City Mission is when his relationship with God really grows. Another way we help that process happen is with our Christianity 101 class. I really love that class because it just gives each guy the opportunity to hear the fundamentals of Christianity, how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, how the Holy Spirit really is the driving force for change in your life. And so it's always amazing to see the dots start to connect and men really start understanding why true life change can't happen without a relationship with God. So that's certainly, you know, one of the most exciting things that happens here. But on a practical level, it's always encouraging to see the practical changes that happen over that year time. You know, you can't see it in a moment, but when you think back of when a guy came in the door for the first time, and then you see him on graduation day or the day he actually leaves and he has a place of his own and a job, those are the best days for the staff. It's just so encouraging to see where guys come from and just to see him really bear the fruits of his labor. You know, all that work he put in and to see it pay off with a job or a house, you know, there's nothing like that moment. So that's definitely an encouraging part of the job.
That sounds really encouraging. Thanks for sharing, Mark. And Michael, I'm sure the same is true for you. Many exciting things happening at Laura's home amongst the moms, kids, single ladies. So can you talk about what you're seeing and what you're most excited about from your perspective?
Yeah, so some of the exciting things are out here. Really in about the past 6-7 months, we've just totally changed our approach with our youth. Before, mostly the approach was stabilization for the mom, work focusing on the mom so that later the kids will have, you know, stable home, things like that. And that still is our focus. However, while our kids are here, now we're focused on long-term connections for them, both for, really for their development. So most of the work that we're doing with our youth is involved with linking them with services. So a lot of our kids are coming to us behind educationally. A lot of our kids are coming to us with developmental needs that were gone unaddressed because, you know, education-wise, mom might have not even known it was a need. They just see a behavior, you know, but we've come to find out the child was autistic and we didn't know that before. So the great things that's been happening, a lot of these collaborations that we've had with various agencies in our area. We've had about 275 kids come to us this year, and of that 275, 140 were linked with long-term developmental needs, both education and for their mental health. And so it's those kids who are going to have that long-term change to break that cycle of poverty. So we're dumping as many services as possible onto those kids to break that cycle.
I know your background is with children with a traumatic past, so it's really been a joy to watch this new program unfold here, getting kids connected to services that they probably never would have found without the help of Laura's Home and their caseworkers. So thank you for bringing that knowledge here to the City Mission. Now, for people who are listening and are interested in helping out with their unique gifts and talents, what are some of the biggest needs that both Crossroads and Laura's Home have right now in the end of 2018?
So some of the biggest needs for Crossroads are certainly continued donations. I mean, everything here is free for every single guy. We never charge a man for anything. But as we all know, nothing is truly free. So, you know, it's always amazing and encouraging to the clients because they know that everything here is provided for through donations. And so many men just show their gratitude and are always so thankful for people they never even meet. They know that everything here, all the meals, all the buildings, all the supplies, all the staff, everything is, you know, because of the generosity of donations. On a practical level, Crossroads always benefits from people who are willing to provide a meal for the men here on a consistent basis. So we have full-time kitchen staff, but anytime we have volunteers who are able to provide a meal for the men and you know, operate the kitchen for one of the shifts, that's always a huge help to our staff. And certainly, as I mentioned before, donations, the men always are in need of clothing and hygiene. But right now, because of the weather, winter jackets is the biggest need for the men here. We can always use more hats and gloves because we get rid of them so quickly, but we are stocked decently well for hats and gloves. We've had some good donations come in for that. But yeah, specifically the jackets, we have, I just walked through the warehouse and, you know, there's a handful of jackets down there for guys, but when a new wave of guys comes in, we'll be out of those. So it would be nice to have a bigger supply. Certainly, the biggest need would be prayer, because as we all know, you know, really every guy who comes in is dealing with a spiritual battle as well. And, so just praying for salvation for guys who haven't received Christ, and just that ongoing sanctification for the men who do know Christ, because we have many men who do know Christ and are Christians, but they're just struggling with addiction or struggling with wounds in their past, and they are just in that messy process of sanctification. So just that this prayer for that endurance, for the guys, that they would stick with it, that they would always get up when they fall, and just really that humility. The guys who succeed here are the men who are humble and willing to receive help and are just ready for God to empower them.
Again, that physical and spiritual perspective of need, and especially with the coats this time of year as the weather grows colder, and as we look to the new year with men graduating and beginning their fresh start. So thanks, Mark, for sharing those big needs. Michael, how about from your perspective at Laura's Home? What are the biggest needs that we have right there that people could become involved with?
Some of our biggest needs right now is relationships. This is out there, you know, a lot of people talk about this, but we kind of hold that no significant change is going to take place with our clients without significant relationships in their lives. So something that we're trying to emphasize is mentors for our youth. We are starting a mentorship program that we're desperately looking for volunteers to engage with. That'll be launching in the new year. So that's definitely a current need right now. All of our kids don't have a father in their life, and so we need men who want to spend some time, an hour a week, to engage with these kids. And, you know, engage with mom, too, to talk about what's going on with their kids and develop those relationships. The other greatest need, I'd say, again, along the lines of the relationship, is for our ladies and our single ladies, too, to really get to engage with the church. For me personally, you know, most of us, when we go into crisis, there's someone that I can like rely on to help me through it. If my car breaks down, I've got a family member in the area who can give me a ride to work so I don't lose my job. You know, I might get behind on rent. I've got family members who will help me out. I haven't burnt those bridges. So desperately, we need the church to want to come here, volunteer, and just really want to develop relationships, that long-term engagement with our clients, get to know them, get to know who they are, and hopefully, you know, out of that, get them into your church so that after they leave here, there's only so much that we can do in 8 to 12 months. They need to be engaged with a good, strong body for the rest of their life. You know, as crisis comes along, they can continue to have that life change, that process of transformation in their life that takes years to go through. So really, the need is relationship all around for our kids and for the ladies from the church.
Our CEO, Rich Trickle, really emphasized the need for relationships, and especially relationships through the church, on our episode last week. So thank you for reiterating that and talking about the importance of doing something we all do every day anyway, just getting to know people, sharing our knowledge with them, building our skills with them. And I think that people who do end up engaging in relationships with our clients through volunteering and then through their church afterward really learn a lot from the experience too. There's so much we all have to gain from each other. So we're wrapping up our time here. Could one of you just share, if people do want to get involved, what's the best way to get started today doing just that?
Yeah, so our best connection right now is Jamie Buxton, our volunteer coordinator. So if just reaching out to her right now and talking about our opportunities, both with volunteering our Pathways, which is our youth program, and seeing how the process of becoming a mentor through that, or the many, many opportunities we have for volunteers here at Loris Home, both working at our front desk with our campus staff, which really gives a great chance to engage with our ladies on a day-to-day basis, volunteering in our child care, which is always a huge need with the 31 kids that we have down there right now. It can get pretty wild, so we always need more hands down there. So there's so many great opportunities to really engage with our ladies to start to develop those relationships that they need.
Great. I know Jamie's also the starting point for any volunteer opportunities through Crossroads. So if you're interested in learning more about volunteer opportunities, head to www.thecitymission.org/volunteer. On our website, you'll also find much more information on Loris Home and Crossroads, as well as our other programs and services we offer. I want to thank both Mark and Michael for being here today, taking time out of their busy schedules to share more with us about Crossroads and Loris Home. And thank you to all you listeners for tuning in. We'll be back next week with a special episode featuring clips from our client interviews this year. It'll be a unique chance for you to hear directly from those who have been through our programs and graduated. You won't want to miss it. Again, this has been Faith in Crisis from the City Mission. You're listening to 1220 AM, The Word.